Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two licensed counselors who like to get together and talk about deeply disturbing things.
Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to the Vortex.
Dive in. Our intro is getting longer and longer.
I know, noticed? We just keep adding.
We keep adding on to each other. I could not wait to get here a little while ago. You can check in first, because...
No, it really seems like you need to check in first.
Well, I have been going through a lot of stress in my life. I mean, my life is already pretty stressy. I've basically been living in a Dr. Phil episode for, like, the last year and a half. But, like, it's just been extra stressy. And some stuff I can't talk about, but I could share the fact that I had a job interview yesterday.
Really? Where at?
And it was super stressy.
Oh.
Well, at my current... My main job, one of my 87 jobs, the gotcha. Full-time job, mm-hmm. but it's for like a mm-hmm. program administrator position.
Oh, and it was stressy?
It was super stressy because the questions are really hard.
Okay, what kind of questions?
Okay, so one was, and this was not even on the question list. I could tell this was one that just got made up mm-hmm. right in, on the spot to mm-hmm. to test me. So the question was, what good ideas have you come up with for the company? Okay, so I shared one of my ideas, and then the follow-up question from the interviewer was, now tell me all the problems with that idea.
Trick question.
Fucking tricky. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then I came up with one, and then it was like, come up with another problem, because one wasn't good enough. Like, I basically felt like I was building this beautiful sandcastle and then asked to fucking destroy it. So It was a tough interview. I don't know. I'm fine with not getting the job. My current job is great, so I was just...
I love how you've, like, resigned to the fact that...
I mean, it's... I did my best. I think it was okay. Given the level of brutal questioning, I think I did good.
Well, and you have, what, 15 years at that agency? 16 now.
2001, I started there.
Yeah.
So 18 years.
18 years.
And I've been in my current position... almost 5 years. So that's the only reason I applied. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to still be here. I might as well, like, climb the fucking ladder and bullshit like that.
Climb the corporate ladder.
But my job right now, I really like. So it was kind of like, yeah, I guess I should apply, but I'm okay with not getting it.
You'd probably be so upset if you actually got it and had to give up your job to someone.
Well, I already have a list of conditions if they do offer it to me. And one is that I get to keep my current office location.
Uh-huh. What about the team?
Well, I would be kind of like overseeing the new supervisor of that team.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd still be involved with that program, which I really love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's your baby.
So that was just actually the lowest level of stressy thing that I've been going through.
Okay.
There's been many.
Keep going.
No, there's some stuff I'm not going to talk about. I'm never going to lie on this podcast, but there may be things I omit or don't disclose. So mm-hmm. there's some stuff that's not really my story to tell. But I'm like, oh my God, I just need to get to the podcast and just relax with Macy and hang out and talk about disturbing things. And it's going to be so refreshing from my real life. Such mm-hmm. a like break. Yeah. So what's going on with you?
Oh, well, I spent an enormous amount of time in a car this weekend.
Oh, yeah, your road trip.
Yeah, it was between like 36, 38 hours in 2 days. Drove down to Colorado.
So that's a long drive.
Washington, Montana, which never fucking ends. Never ends. And then once never ends happens, you hit Wyoming.
Did you go through Utah?
No, we did Wyoming and then to Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was very painstaking. I've never, like, felt 16 hours worth of a car ride straight before. Now I have.
Which city did you go to?
Boulder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I heard that's super cute.
Yeah, actually, it was interesting because, like, the area kind of reminds me of Spokane a little bit. Like, the drier, like, farmlandy parts.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of money. Because, like, it's like they built... kind of the town that they wanted.
I've heard it's like kind of a rich hippie uh-huh. vibe.
Very, very
like granolas crunchy, with money.
Very crunchy, yeah. No.
That's where the unsolved JonBenet Ramsey murder occurred.
Ooh.
Was in Boulder.
Okay.
Maybe a future topic for us.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
I drove there once. To Denver.
Did you?
I drove to Denver. and it was fucking brutal. But we went through Utah, and we actually got pulled over in Utah.
Did you? Did not get pulled over at all, which I'm very happy about. Yeah, it was just long and tiring, and like had to stop and like spend the night in a Motel 6 for one of the nights for like 4 hours before we got up and drove again. So my body's just trying to catch up.
Well, it's good to see you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks.
I have presents for us.
I love it when you bring presents. You're so thoughtful.
Look at these.
Ooh.
These are tiny, one-inch, deeply disturbing things stickers.
Which she will post a picture of on our
somewhere
page. On our somewhere. And these are so cute. They're so, like a little bit bigger than like your thumbprint.
Yeah, they're adorbs. I thought that we could split them in half and keep them like in our purses.
To and give then, them away. Or yeah, tag things. Well, I mean, not tag things.
But. Tag things, yeah. And then urban vandalism is always an option.
All the rage.
But sometimes I end up talking about our podcasts, and then people are like, oh, what is it? I'll listen. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's going to be out of your mind the second I turn my back. So this way you can give them a tangible reminder.
I like it. They're super cute, too.
So yeah. They'll stick it on, like, their water mug or whatnot, and it'll remind them to listen.
So
they're like little belly button size stickers.
If you know us in person and you want a sticker, let us know.
I ordered 50, so we'll have 25 each.
Perfect.
And they're very valuable.
Very valuable.
There might be, I mean, if they become in demand, there might be some kind of interview process you have to pass before you
like
get a sticker.
Like a quiz?
A quiz. Maybe
Episode 3, second topic of the hour.
Oh my god, yes. Prove you're a super fan.
I wouldn't be able to do that. I literally asked my dad what episode he was on. He's like, the one before this last one. And I couldn't even remember what that one was. He had to tell me.
No, I have trouble too, but here's why I think it is. Because we record the next one before we post the last mm-hmm. one, and so it mixes it up in our brain of what just happened and what's going to be out.
And sometimes I shove a 36-hour drive in between, and that's why I was late posting the last one.
I figured. I didn't care. I knew you were, like, busy. And my weekend was so stressy. I'm just happy to be here alive.
Well, yeah, because we had to move it from yesterday to today.
Yeah, yesterday was my son's birthday, so. Yeah.
Yep. Life happens.
Fucking life.
Podcast is our self-care. We gotta get it in.
Oh my god, I was so looking forward. I'm so happy to be here. Like, I'm actually, for the first time, like, happy and relaxed right now.
That's very good. Very good. I think I get to go first.
You
this
do!
Time.
I thought about that earlier.
Okay.
Lucky bitch.
Wow. Super bitter. This actually came out in the news a few years ago, so it's an older news piece, but pretty big ramifications and implications still now. So I'm going to talk about the USA Gymnastics sex abuse scandal.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Do
tell.
Do talk about that.
Okay. So this was, it came out when one individual came forward about sexual abuse that she experienced while a member of the USA Gymnastics team. So really, though, this involves the sexual abuse of many female athletes, primarily those who are minors, over the past 2 decades, in which over 368 individuals have been sexually assaulted.
Was it all females that came forward?
Yes. By gym owners, coaches, and staff working for the programs across the country. So particularly, it was longtime USA Gymnastics national team doctor Larry Nassar. Have you heard that name?
I have heard that nasty name.
Mm-hmm.
Nasty Nassar.
Nasty Nassar, yes. Yeah,
so I just came up with that. Have
did
you seen that in the press?
No.
Okay, maybe I just came up with that.
I was just winging it. I was like, that sounds right.
Okay, you keep talking. I'm not really going anywhere. I'm just, my laptop's going to die and I'm going to plug it in.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to be like right in the vicinity, but I'm taking my headphones off.
Okay, I wasn't going to be alarmed by that.
Well, sometimes you're like, where are you going?
Well, because you leave.
I know.
Hundreds of lawsuits that came out from these athletes said that Nassar engaged in sexual abuse under the pretense of providing medical treatment for at least 14 years. So since this scandal broke out in September 2006... more than 265 women, a lot of them including national team members, have come forward saying that he sexually assaulted them. And it's really been one of the biggest kind of scandals in U.S. sport history. On November 11, 2017, Nassar pled guilty to federal child pornography charges and was sentenced to 60 years in prison. So he had over 37,000 accounts of child pornography on his computer. And one of those included a video of him sexually molesting a minor in a swimming pool. So he had all of that on his computer. So that got him 60 years right there. And then on February 5th, 2018, NASA received another 40 to 125 years. And as of 2019, he's now incarcerated at the United States Penitentiary in Coleman.
So his stuff, his creepiness wasn't just limited to molesting these athletes. It was like he was also interested in child porn.
Yes. This is basically the venue which he used to take advantage of children. They found over a period of 9 months that predatory coaches were allowed to move from gym to gym undetected by a lax system of oversight or dangerously passed on by USA Gymnastics certified gyms. So basically they were seeing that people were getting fired and gym hopping as far as employment.
Mm.
Without having their memberships revoked, without being flagged, even though upon initial hire, they do a criminal background check. But then after that point, they weren't keeping up with people and their records.
So they just kind of let it slide.
Mm-hmm.
Big mistake.
Yes. The background of this, in 1990, the USAG compiled a list of permanently banned coaches, including coaches banned for sexual abuse. In 1992, Robert Dean Head, a USAG coach in Kentucky, pled guilty to raping a 12-year-old.
Ugh,
in 2007, they made a background check mandatory for all coaches. But again, that's, 2007, and the rape of this girl happened in 1992. So they're not the quickest for putting reform in.
So they just started background checks in 2007.
As mandatory for all coaches. Mm-hmm.
It seems like that should have been going for a while.
Right? Don Peters, the national coach for the 1984 Olympic team, was banned in 2011 after two former gymnasts accused him of sexual abuse. In 2016, Olympic team doctor Larry Nassar was arrested on charges of sexual abuse and possession of child porn. There have been several incidences of the USA Gymnastics dismissing warning about coaches. In 2013, USA Gymnastics officials admitted under oath that allegations of sexual abuse were routinely dismissed as hearsay until they came directly from the victim themselves. One of the USAG president, Steve Penny, said, quote, "To the best of my knowledge, there's no duty to report if you are a third party to some allegation. You know that lies with the person who had the firsthand knowledge."
Hmm. May I interject?
Absolutely. That's why I paused.
So when you are saying that, it sounds all kinds of fucked up. But in our profession as mandated reporters, we actually wouldn't report third-party mm-hmm. knowledge. So now I'm thinking we're all kinds of fucked up, too.
We don't report third-party knowledge. But we are also held to high levels of confidentiality due to the nature of the work that we do. This is a USA Gymnastics board that's supposed to protect the minors that it enrolls. So
there's a difference.
I would say that there's a difference. I do think if it weren't for the counselor confidentiality piece, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically their whole stance was if it didn't come from the victim themselves or a victim's parent, then it wasn't followed up with and that they didn't legally have a requirement to. So with Larry Nassar, he was a licensed osteopathic physician and the nation team sport medicine doctor for the USA Gymnastics. He also ran clinics and gymnastics clubs at Michigan State University, where he was a faculty member. USAG fired Nassar in 2015 after learning about athletic concerns. So have you heard anything about the sexual abuse portion of this?
A little bit. I heard that, he definitely abused his position of power with these girls, and they just assumed that he was doing what he was supposed to do because mm-hmm. he's a doctor and he knows what he's doing, mm-hmm. and that he spun the sexual abuse as, like, a part of the medical exam.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's exactly it. He saw over 250 girls and women, and those are the ones who reported the abuse, at least, let alone if anybody didn't come forward. So he committed these during medical examinations. So the molestations range from inserting a finger in the gymnast's vagina and anuses to fondling their breasts and genitalia. A lot of this was done in front of parents. And so that's where a lot of the controversy comes from, is because the parent was standing right there. So he would say the parent was present in the room. that's consent.
Well, I don't think that's consent.
But that's what he viewed as consent, because he, and then the child would say, he touched me in there, or he put a finger in there, and then he would say, no, 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 your child's lying. I was just on the inner thigh. And the power and authority he had in that position, being very respected, parents let him do it, not assuming his word over the child's.
So this goes back to some way, way past episodes where we've talked about kind of that grooming process, mm-hmm. where you buy in everybody around the victim, mm-hmm. the intended target, and get them to believe that you're okay and you have all good intentions. And he's a doctor, mm-hmm. and they probably needed his like stamp of approval for their daughter to compete. So you're not going to want to rock that boat.
And if you like watch any of these videos from these gymnasts, like this is their world. They train for this every mm-hmm. day. I mean, gymnastics is what they do, and they're often pushed to the brink. So being asked or being put in positions that are uncomfortable or challenging is not uncommon for them. So it.
Good point. Yeah. You're trained to mm-hmm. suffer through pain and discomfort mm-hmm. and not speak up.
Yep, because that's a sign of weakness.
Yep, you're a whiny whiner.
A whiny whiner. And if you can't handle that, then you can't handle being a gold medalist. Right.
There's no tears in gymnastics.
Mm-hmm. So one of the first victim he had was the youngest, so 6 years old. It's a very young Olympic gold medalist, Michaela Maroney, used the hashtag MeToo on Twitter after seeing other people reporting incidents of abuse. And she reported that he repeatedly molested her. Started when she was 13 years old until she retired in the sport in 2016. She filed a lawsuit against him and Michigan State University. The lawsuit accused USAG of covering up the sexual abuse by paying Maroney $1.25 million to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Well, if that doesn't say guilty, I don't know what does.
$1 million to shut up.
Hush money, I think they call it in the biz.
Hush money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shush.
Shush money.
Shush money.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, can I ask what his exam was supposed to be examining? Like what kind? He was an osteo. What did you say? Osteoporosis.
No, I don't think it's osteo.
I swear you said osteo something.
It was close to that, but not quite.
So, if it is that, then he's just like looking at bone structure.
Osteopathic physician.
So what does that do?
I remember because I watched the there was a documentary made about it. It's on Netflix if you're interested, but something about like hip placement, because these women would have issues with their hips because they're being constantly put in uncomfortable positions and forcing their bodies past that natural limit. So it's like hip adjustment stuff, it's knee pain, it's all of those things.
I don't think the vagina or anus is involved in
well
that.
And that came up in the show too, because they would like complain. She'd be like, I complain because my ankle hurt. And then he would very clinically, medically explain how the rotation in the hip and the pelvic region would impact that. And so he would do a quote-unquote adjustment.
Oh my God.
And
is that what he called?
Explain that.
Is that a hip adjustment? Is finger banging in his world?
Yep, apparently.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, pretty effed up stuff. So it really... He ended up being fired in 2014 from Michigan State for violating their agreement. But
7 years.
Yeah.
After the background checks were put in place. I don't know if there's a link. I'm just remembering dates and doing some math.
Look at you doing math.
I know. It's weird.
It's really impressive.
I don't think those facts were linked. I don't know what I'm talking about. Never mind.
They sounded really important, though.
I know, but I just don't think it's a thing.
Are you sure? You sure?
Let's review the tapes.
In November 2016, Nasser was initially charged with the sexual assault of a child. The assaults began with the 6-year-old in 1998 and lasted until 2005. He pled not guilty to 3 charges of first-degree criminal sexual conduct against a minor during his first court appearance. The following month, he was also indicted on the child porn. Nasser pled guilty to 3 federal child porn pornography charges on July 11, 2017.
Pornography.
And then he was given 3 consecutive years equaling 60. So Basically, this all kind of built up. And have you seen any of the videos of the girls and women sharing the victims' testimonies in court?
No, but I saw a video, and tell me if this is a totally different case and I'm mixing things up.
Okay.
But I saw a video of a dad, like, fucking coming at him and having to be restrained in the courtroom.
Actually, yeah, I think
Was that related to this? Yes, okay.
Yeah. Because I saw that, I think that was part of the video release of the court, the court hearings.
It'd be really hard for me to hold back if somebody did something like that to one of my kids.
It was really interesting watching the, because all the women who came forward were given opportunity to share. And they made him listen to every single person. And the court listened to every single person. It took a week for his proceedings for just the victim testimonies.
I bet that's a really powerful experience to be able to give your victim statement.
Yeah. Yes. And a lot of them, like one person shared that her growing up throughout this whole time, she had told her parents over and over again about the abuse, and her parents kept telling her she was a liar and that she needed to apologize to him over and over. And it actually caused a huge split in her relationship with her father. Became a big point of contention. She ended up just kind of pushing away from her family altogether and had to like do anger management things. And then, I mean, so it really just kind of it ruined her life. So being able to share publicly her experiences was really vindicating. But watching her mom next to her and her facial expressions, because when she says, my mom was there and I told her, and watching the mom's face of like the just that wince of guilt.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? I mean, you're a parent, like what that would be like?
I mean, I hope I would believe my kids. I mean, even when my kids tell me, you know, they think there's a ghost or whatever, I try not to just shut them down and try to, you know, be more of a listening type parent.
But again, with the power and authority, I mean, these parents pay a ton of money. That's the respected authorities. And saying something like this might be viewed as weakness or trying to get out of the work.
And these parents, I mean, I don't know, but they might have this like stage mom mentality, this dance mom mentality where
power through.
They hear this as this is something that's going to interfere in your career, your Olympic gold medal dreams.
Everything you've been, I'm here. And they do it from this place of caring because they care. It's not that they just didn't believe it so much because they believed in the dream more.
Yeah. It's intoxicating.
Mm-hmm.
The power.
Power intoxicating in a very gross way.
Can of house red wine. I took us back to our roots today with the red wine.
Yes, you did. No bubbly.
Because it was kind of cold at the store. I didn't realize we were going to be returning
up
here to the hot room. Yeah. Now I'm rethinking my choices, as I often do in life.
So the USAG stated that nothing is more important to USA Gymnastics, the board of directors and CEO, Steve Penny, than protecting athletes, which requires sustained vigilance by everyone, the coaches, athletes, parents, administrators, and officials. They said, "We are saddened when any athlete has been harmed in the course of his or her gymnastic career." They also said that they require background checks for all of the coaches. However, an independent investigation by the Indianapolis Star found that some coaches were fired and then being rehired in other gyms without losing their membership from the organization or being flagged. So the follow-through...
Probably because they got results.
Yeah.
Probably the coaches with results got a pass.
Very true, yeah. What are you making noises over there for?
I just was being OCD for... Weird. Some of the stickers were like face down and I wanted them all to be face up in the bag for no reason.
Well, that's wonderful.
So I'll just set it aside and practice distress tolerance.
Thank you. I'll keep them over here. So they said that they first received executives heard of athletes' concerns regarding him in June 2015. Following the investigation, he was fired. The allegations had to go up to the FBI. For them to first get investigated, and it took a year for the FBI to get involved. So that's how long the abuse was allowed to continue. In March 2017, the president, Steve Penny, resigned amid accusations of negligence and calls for his dismissal. So he ended up stepping down.
When was that? 2017?
Yeah, 2017. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of criticism for how they handled it, according to a 2016 investigation. They really failed to alert authorities. So they kind of found that these assistant coaches, lower level executives and higher level executives were being told things and it wasn't being investigated appropriately, or is being dismissed, or those are just part of the medical examinations. It's a requirement. If you don't like it, you don't have to be here. Again, going to that, like, if you can't make it.
That's an interesting stance to take. By interesting, I mean shitty. In case you were confused.
Yes, yes, very. So I was just going to play a quick video clip of...
Oh my God, my topic later has video clips.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to do the video. I'm just going to play the audio because you can't see the video.
Right, obviously.
Here. Obviously. I just felt like I had to make that clear.
But do I get to see the video?
No.
Oh,
okay. Okay, fine.
No, I don't need to look. I'll avert my eyes.
I'm going to hold it for you.
I thought that training for the Olympics would be the hardest thing that I would ever have to do. But in fact, the hardest thing I've ever had to do is process that I'm a victim of Larry Nassar.
Nobody can see what those words are.
It doesn't matter. I've already said those words.
Okay, there's a lot of words on the screen that's summarizing.
So this guy, he has glasses, and he looks like a doctor, if you were curious what he looks like.
There is no map that shows you the pathway to healing. Realizing that you are a survivor of sexual abuse is really hard to put into words. I cannot adequately capture the level of disgust I feel when I think about how this happened. Larry, you abused the power and trust I and so many others placed in you, and I am not sure I will ever come to terms with how horribly you manipulated and violated me.
It is time to hold the leadership of Michigan State University, United States Gymnastics, and the United States Olympic Committee accountable for allowing and in some cases enabling his crimes.
My deepest pain and fear was the thought of my two young daughters ever being hurt like this. He took that trust and used it to molest not only myself, but over 140 young girls is something I still can't comprehend. I still can't think about without crying. We were just kids. We were just kids.
How much was a little girl worth? How much were these young women worth? This time, however, the little girls in question are not potential victims. They are real women and children. Real women and little girls who have names and faces and souls. Real women and children whose abuse and suffering was enjoyed for sexual fulfillment by the defendant.
Lastly, Mr. Nassar, you are no longer called a doctor. You have been stripped of your medical license. And soon, you'll be known by your prison number for what I hope to be the maximum sentence.
Again, there's a week's worth of victim testimonies, and that was just a clip of, you know, four people.
I think I'm having a sick infatuation with victim testimonies.
Yeah?
Yeah, they, like, give me, like, some weird
feeling
energy.
I know, you get, like,
that I want to, like, do something.
Yeah, like, yeah, fuck you, Nassar.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Nassar.
God, I hope this doesn't turn into some weird addiction.
Yeah, so...
Oh, or I just, gosh, every morning turn on a victim testimony before work.
I've been watching a lot of serial killer shows lately. So I, like, actually pick something not serial killer related to, like, show myself that it's okay.
It's just so, I just love the idea there's of somebody so much having
emotion,
a voice.
So much emotion under it.
Yeah.
And for them to be silenced for so long and then to have that opportunity to speak to his face.
It's so empowering.
And that's what I love the judge in this. She made him sit there and listen to all of it. And at one point he got up and he started to apologize and start sounding very sad and remorseful. And she cut him off.
Oh, good.
And she goes, this is not going to go on. You sent me a letter just like a few days before, something like that, that stated that that all of this was the victim's fault, that it was their fault that this happened. I am not going to allow you to sit and lie to these women's faces, and made him go and sit down. It was great. And she said, I'm gladly going to be the one to sign your death warrant.
Oh.
Because they stacked on multiple. I mean, it's way over human lifespan, like by triple for what he's in there for.
Is he in prison right now?
Yeah, 2019.
Do we know what prison?
Yeah, I said it earlier, if you're paying attention.
It's hot in here. I didn't change out of my long sleeve dress like I'd planned.
Yeah, so you said you were going to do that.
I know, I was going to, and then I just like felt like I was taking too long to get up here.
So there's some vindication there. There's new board members, new head of the USA Gymnastics. They're really vowing to move forward to make some of those changes. So I think, you know, in the next few years will really be telling of, are they making those changes? What do they see as far as impact? And what does that look like for USA Gymnastics?
Are you a fan of USA Gymnastics? Do you watch the Olympics?
I've watched it, yeah, a few times. Not like passionately, but I have.
Did you ever participate in gymnastics yourself?
I took one gymnastics class. Not like for, but like for a short period of time. And I had the meanest gymnastics teacher. She was really mean.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. Apparently that's not uncommon. But yeah, I don't know. It just wasn't my thing.
I did it for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. I can't remember. When I was in elementary school.
I think I made like a few weeks. not very far.
I did it a while.
Side note. I enjoyed note.
It, but it didn't stick.
My dad told me that he just listened to the Kiss and Tell.
Oh, does he have us a FAQ?
What?
About Jeffrey Epstein and the hanging?
No, he said, Macy, you never told me that when you kissed your first boyfriend, that barbecue Christ. Chips went in your mouth. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, Dad, I'm sorry I didn't tell you that.
You know what? Maybe people that are in our inner circle don't need to listen to the podcast anymore.
He enjoys it. He didn't give me that hard.
A lot is being revealed here.
Bearing our souls.
We do not want this to be a relationship-ending podcast.
Yeah, he's my dad. He's stuck with me.
Hi, Paul.
Speaking of, hi, Paul. Yeah, so anyways, I wanted to do this one because I actually watched that show a while back and wanted to bring it back up again and just for it to be on our minds for future conversation, you know, if they're following through.
You know what? I just had an idea for a future topic inspired by your topic tonight.
Okay.
Which I can't say because I don't want you to steal it.
She's going
to
put it on her list of things that she never podcasts about.
No, it's going on my growing list of future podcasts.
That she never subjects. Podcasts about.
I told you it's like survival food. You don't necessarily eat it, but you like to know it's there. It's not the tastiest shit, but it's sustenance. Oh, God. This heat's going to my head. Okay.
Bring it on.
So ready to take a total pivot?
I'm so excited since I went first and I was all calm and collected. Here are the facts. Facts, facts, facts.
No, you and did now really good.
Now you're like, wine, 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 wine.
I know. And while I'm on compliment country with you,
you're complimenting me?
Yeah, I said you did really good. Wanted to, because I think this all the time and then I never have told you. I think that the photos that you're putting for all our podcasts are really good.
Oh, thank you.
I think they're like super well done and I didn't realize you had those talents within you.
It's because back when I had my own band, I made all of our CD art.
Oh my God. That's I just love them. They're all like great and I like how they're different like colors. I like looking at them all at once, like on one big screen.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really used to enjoy like making flyers and stuff for bands because like I was in a punk band. So you got to be kind of creative with making flyers. So that's where it kind of comes from.
Hidden talent.
Yeah. It's kind of fun to pull it out.
So this is our 25th episode.
Happy 25th.
Quarter century. Let's clink our cans. Quarter a century of podcasts here.
Oh, and just pretty so cool. You know, we're trying to do better about posting pictures on the podcast Facebook page if you want to follow along with updates for photos.
Yes. So
Starting today.
We have not only do we have a like regular podcast page, but there's also a group.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have an Instagram. So I really suck at social media shit because I don't have time. But I'm trying to make it all like so there's different things. So you don't see the same thing each place. So mm-hmm. you have a reason to follow us in different places.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so I'm trying to make the Instagram ones different than the group, than the page.
And just for a little bit of understanding, so Naomi...
Is this a disclaimer?
Yes. Naomi and I started this podcast, obviously, 25 episodes ago. And we did it as a way to like get together and talk because we're too busy and we feel like we need something, like a reason to get together and talk. So this became our reason.
Yeah, mutual interests, yo.
Yeah, and it's fun. It started just like on a handheld voice recorder.
No, our first one, literally, we had no plan. No. We had nothing. We're just like, okay, well, let's just make a podcast. And we like just hit record and we're like, all right, let's start talking.
Yeah, yeah. So when you listen to the first episodes, you really are hearing the evolution of what started as just two friends in a room together, doing something that sounded like fun, to now where we're like have professional equipment and still two of us just in a room together. But we, due to feedback from listeners, which we never thought was going to really be a thing.
No, at first we were like, fuck them, we don't care. But we got, as we started to get like more of an international audience, we're like, okay, maybe we should get microphones so we don't sound like we're recording inside of one of our wine cans.
Well, and it's interesting because now we're getting the feedback like, oh yeah, that episode was really good, but it sounds like you're in an echo chamber. It's like, yes, yes, but listen to the new episodes.
Yes, starting at episode 19, we have the new equipment.
Yeah, gosh, we went a long time without the new equipment.
Because we didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. And the other side note is both Naomi and I work full-time plus. So
plus.
Plus.
Plus, plus, plus.
And I say plus, plus, plus because we both work a full 40 hours at a standard 8-to-5-ish. Yep. And then we also have private practice clients, yeah, that we see.
And side hustles.
Yeah, and we do roller derby and regular live stuff. So really, we squeeze this in because we do honestly feel this is our self-care and we enjoy it. So it'll stay our thing. And if you benefit from it, we're all for it.
Yes. I mean, I really, my last few days have been so stressy and I'm like, oh, but then I have podcasts and I can just like,
I always feel so relieved.
Do nothing.
Relieved after. Like, it's like our therapy session.
Oh my God,
with ourselves.
It's cathartic. Aww. Aww, self-healing and all that shit. Okay. So, my topic tonight, I spend way too much time on YouTube. I will admit that. And one thing turns into another and another and another. And I have many interests that I dive in those YouTube rabbit holes. One of them is UFOs. Because I am a believer, and if you listen to one of our past episodes, I did have my own sighting this year for the first time ever.
Wait, was that the deleted episode? No.
No, it was recorded because I listened to myself talking about it. Oh,
it was the spaceship one.
I don't remember like what episode number or anything like that. So in my quote-unquote research on UFOs on YouTube, I came across one incident that, to me, is the most believable one that I've seen. Because some of them, you're like, whatever, you're fucking full of shit. Like, you did not see that, or, you know, that's just, you know, haze from a camera or whatnot. So this was Zimbabwe's alien invasion.
What?
The aerial school UFO sighting in Rua, Zimbabwe in September of 1994. So you were like 6, and I was like, not 6. I was older than 6. So there is video footage that was recorded of this. What?
You remind me from Beetlejuice right now, in your striped dress and your hair.
Like the man Beetlejuice?
No.
Like Michael Keaton?
No, the woman, the young girl that I can't remember her name.
The one you fucking hate?
Yeah.
Winona Ryder?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad.
I just wanted to call
that. That's the vibe I'm giving off, is disgust and hatred. Okay.
That's my compliment for you.
That was a compliment. You know, I got this dress at H&M.
I really love the dress.
It was really cheap and I wear it all the time.
I really love the dress.
You know why I chose this? Today at work, I mean, I'm not shitting you. I have been like the fucking stressiest last few days. So I'm coming off all this stress. No, I've had this for a long time. I'm coming off all this stress. And today I had to help give the all-day Columbia suicide severity rating scale training at work. All those C's and S's. Yeah, so that's what I did today. So I chose this dress. Because it was the right amount of comfortable and professionalism, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's my training dress.
I have two training dresses that I'm like, this makes me look professional, but I can also like not feel like I'm dying up here in front of people.
Right.
You need like breathability.
And you don't want like your nervous pit sweat to show. Like, there's a lot of factors that go into a training dress.
Yes.
Oh my God, where was I?
I'm so sorry.
Why is it so hot in here all of a sudden? I'm having a hot flush, maybe, my first one. Okay, 62 children. 62, that's a lot of children. Ages 5 to 12 witnessed a UFO landing at their school. And they saw the two aliens that accompanied it with that delivered an important but terrifying message for humanity. So far, like I said, the most convincing story that I have ever seen. Like, I 100% believed that this happened to these children, but I have not researched the Westall school UFO sighting in Australia in 1966, where 200 children and school teachers witnessed visitors. So maybe after I research that, I'll be like, no, that's the most convincing incident, but as for now, this is the one. And the reason, you might ask, it's so convincing.
What's the reason it's so convincing?
So I watched these videoed interviews with these children, and I'm going to have my discerning eye, like, oh, are they lying? Is there anything, you know? I mean, we're discerning in our field. We're used to interviewing people and picking up nuances.
Affect,
and
body language.
Creating clinical impressions and all that. So all the children seemed 100% like they were telling the truth. And they didn't, like, you would expect if they're lying, like, they'd seem overly excited or shifty or their stories would change. But no, it was completely consistent. Some seemed terrified and upset. Some were crying because of the incident. So it did not seem attention-seeking. And they all had similar stories, all 62 kids. Wow. Similar stories. They all drew similar drawings.
Creepy.
And then when the children were interviewed 1 year later, and then 16 years later, and then 20 years later, nobody ever wavered from their story. There's never been anyone that's come out and said, you know, I said I saw that. I didn't really fucking see that. That's never happened, as far as I was able to see in my research. Okay, so there was no adults out there. The kids were all out at recess. They were all in a meeting. There was one adult running the snack shop outside, sort of, but she wasn't paying attention. This is a private elementary school with students of mixed ethnic heritage, and it's a very rich school. So they're all, like, kids of diplomats, that kind of thing, like a wealthy school.
Hoity-toity.
So researchers believed their cultural differences gave rise to differing interpretations of the event, and that the differences in interpretation made the details that were common more compelling. Listeners, and Macy, who is also a listener right now, be patient, because there's only one place on YouTube that I could find actual video, and I did feel like that would enhance this whole presentation.
And you are going to post this link?
Yeah, I'll post the link to the whole thing, which is like 31 minutes long. But there were little sections that I thought would illustrate it more than me just talking about it, since it's like a UFO thing. And like, I just feel like it needed more illustration. So be patient, because I'm going to find like different sequences on here and then just like play it. So okay. What happened is these...
You're very slurry of your words today.
I'm hot and tired and stressy.
Yeah.
What happened is these kids were interviewed, like, right away, and then again a day later, and then again, like, after that. So this was when they were called into the office, and it was the older kids, and they were initially, like, describing what happened. So here's one of the girls.
I saw something silver on the ground amongst the trees, and a person in black, and that's all I saw.
You saw a person alongside the silver thing?
Yes.
What did the silver thing look like?
It looked like a saucer, but the shape wasn't really round.
Have you heard about UFOs before this?
No.
You didn't know anything about it, so it was something quite new to you.
Yes.
Were you afraid?
Yes.
What did you do? Did you run to fetch the teachers, or you just stayed with the other children?
I stayed with the other children.
We talked with a lot.
Okay, so that's the first clip. I really encourage everybody to watch this. All right, let me find the second clip.
That's interesting that she hasn't, hadn't heard of UFOs before that point. You know, like this is, she probably didn't even know what that meant until, like, it was brought up by people asking her questions.
So 1994, this is like pre everybody's on the internet and like everybody knows everything at all times.
I don't know what that's like.
Are you a digital native, Macy?
Well, like, there was a computer in my house most of my, like, computer-using age.
See, I clearly remember... Well, I remember dial-up, but I remember the times before any computers.
Dark ages.
Or the light ages, depending.
Depending. Actually, fair, after this podcast, especially, you know, good case for that. Except for, you know, this... A lot of serial killers seem to happen during the 70s, so they had too much free time.
So here's a couple more kids describing their experience.
Wait faster and then slower and then faster and then slower. Mm-hmm. All at the same time.
What time of day did this event occur?
At break time.
Break time in the morning or lunch break?
Morning.
Morning break. And what were you doing at the time?
Well, I was playing in the playground, and then we saw something silver, and then we quickly ran to the logs, and we saw a silver thing, and we saw a man standing next to it. They were just, like, looking at all of us. They seemed to have stiff necks. They didn't seem to move their necks like we can.
How tall would you guess they were?
They're about my size.
About your size.
His eyes looked at me as if, I want to, and things like that.
I want to what?
I want you.
I want you.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
They were frightened of us. They actually came near.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't try to attack.
They didn't act in an unfriendly way.
No. Then he was looking at me back. I couldn't just keep on looking at him, so I had to stop and I looked sideways. So he kept on making me feel faint.
Wow. The detail about the neck is creepy. Like, their neck doesn't move the way our neck does. Like, what kind of detail would that be to pull out, like, just if you're making it up?
It's convincing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you weren't looking at the video because I had it turned away, but did you sense anything or detect anything of, like, deception in these kids' reports?
No.
It seemed like they were telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
I still don't put it past government or other explanations as well. I don't think we're, like, the only ones in this universe or other universes.
So you're a believer too, like me.
But, like, you know, it could also just be, like, the Area 51 thing. Like, you're going to be horribly disappointed when it's, like, a microorganism in a petri dish. Not necessarily a person that looks like you.
Right. Like, why is it always a humanoid depicted?
Yeah.
No, I get that, too. But then these things come, and I'm like,
we're very egocentric. Like, of course it's going to be people-oriented. And if it wasn't people-oriented, I'd be more convinced.
Yes. Anthropocentric, I think, might be the word. I don't
know. Anthropomorphism is giving...
That's what I was talking about during my furry episode.
Yeah.
So the children said they had first seen three objects in the sky. These objects would disappear and then reappear in a different location. The objects moved closer and closer to the ground and finally landed in a brushy area next to the schoolyard. So the object landed or hovered just above the ground in an area about 100 meters from the students. And for all our US and UK listeners, I looked up 100 meters to see what that equals in feet. It's 328 feet. So now you can visualize it.
That's very good, because did you know that right now we have... you have to reach out more to the Australia listeners and Netherlands.
Do they do metric system or the other system?
Isn't it just us that sucks?
I think UK does our same system, but Australia might. I mean, they had that period of colonialism. I don't know.
I just assumed we were the only one that
okay, if we
used
had
the wrong kind.
If we had a looker-upper, we mm-hmm. could find out who...
We're taking applications. We pay very little.
We pay nothing.
A can of wine. We'd give you a can of
Perhaps
wine.
Perhaps a sticker.
You have to sit on the floor.
Yes. But you know, you'd get fame.
And glory.
And glory, but no
and
fortune.
And you get to be in our sweaty presence.
That's right. Which... I don't know.
Who wouldn't want
that? It's magical.
That?
Yeah. I thought it was us in the UK, but there might be others mm-hmm. that are on the archaic foot system. Mm-hmm. So the other system's called metric. What's our system called? I don't think it's the foot system. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. We need a fucking liquor-upper right now.
Okay. So U.S. customer unit is the system of unit of measurement used to measure in the United States. The length or distant units includes inch, foot, yard, or mile. So it's customary units.
Who knows that? Nobody ever says that ever.
The United States code refers to these units as traditional systems of weights and measures.
Of course traditional, because we want to be like, we're the right ones, rooted in history.
Other common ways of referring to the U.S. system are standard.
Oh,
or customer,
okay,
or imperial, or English.
Okay.
Which refers to the pre-1824 reform measures used throughout the British Empire.
Okay. You know, I feel disadvantaged that I don't understand the system that everybody else uses, including my heroes, scientists. Like, I want to be in the world
yeah,
of
like,
kilometers.
Why weren't we... Right? I love going up to Canada and being like, okay, here's the test, brain. Make it
oh
work.
Oh my God, you get to use the little speedometer on your car?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it says that it's the metric system is... used by virtually all countries in the world. We do not use them, along with two other countries.
Who's the other?
Liberia and Myanmar? Myanmar?
Wait
Myanmar?
A second. Not the United Kingdom? I thought they were with us.
No, the metric system is commonly referred to as the International System of Units. It's used by virtually all countries in the world. Interestingly, three countries in the world do not use the metric system, despite its simplicity and universal use. These are Myanmar, United States, and Liberia.
Are you fucking kidding me?
This is from worldatlas.com.
It's like us and two countries like we've never even heard of. Sorry, Liberia and Myanmar. It's not your fault that we haven't heard of you. It's our shitty education system.
And you haven't listened to the podcast, so we feel no loyalty whatsoever at this point.
Yes.
Listen, and we get real nice.
Yeah. Hello, Estonia. Hope you're back.
We miss you.
I miss you so hard. All right. Where am I? The children said that a small man, about 1 meter or 3.2 feet in height.
About the size of a child, like that one kid said.
Yeah, appeared on top of the object. The little man was described as having a scrawny neck, long black hair, and huge eyes. It was said he walked a short way across the ground toward the students. When he noticed the children, he vanished and then reappeared at the back of the object. The object then took off and vanished. The smaller children were super freaked out, frightened. They were crying. Some believed that the little man was a demon who would eat them. So this refers to the differences in cultural reactions. South African folklore has legends of, and I'm probably totally butchering this pronunciation, Tokoloshes, which are goblins or demons who can kill people in the night and do things like eat their toes off.
Mm.
Yeah, they're bad, bad creatures. So the children ran to the snack shop operator, but she didn't want...
That's what I do.
She didn't
want
to leave
stressed,
the shop.
I run to the snack shop.
She thought, like, snacks needed to be attended, so she didn't leave.
Well, because obviously it could be a trick, a ploy from the children. Right. Quick, everyone get on the same
Ooh,
story.
Ooh, we saw it. Go, Tokoloshe.
Over there,
Tokoloshe.
And then they're going to steal the peanuts.
Yeah. So I have a side note just for you, Macy, here.
Okay.
So you love Diane Ward.
Yes, I would, if you would say it correctly.
Is that Diane Ward?
No. It's Diane Ward. Diane Ward.
Oh. See, I don't know anything.
It means the solution.
Oh. So they're from South Africa.
Yes.
Same place as this incident. Uh-huh. So on The Late Show with David Letterman, when they performed I Think You Freaky, they replace the English swear word motherfucker with Tokolokshi.
Ooh.
A little trivia.
That's good to know.
It is.
Yes, apparently they think that Americans say, like, die ant word.
Well, and, we do, well, yeah, obviously. They, well, yeah. Because we don't know anything.
They think, yeah, they think it's very dumb sounding.
Well, we are dumb.
Which it is.
We don't know anything.
Die ant word.
As I've become more of a speaking out loud person in the last few years, because I was always very, like, quiet and considerate of my words, like, overly considerate. Through my professional world, I've had to do a lot more public speaking and trainings, and obviously this fucking podcast is, like, a
rollercoaster of emotions.
A lot of public speaking, but I've been really just realizing how many words I don't fucking know how to pronounce. Like, I just don't, because I never spoke them out loud. Like, I would see them in writing, but if you don't have the opportunity to actually say them...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had a whole thing yesterday where I was looking up how to pronounce all these words that I was going to have to use in my training today.
Wow.
I had to give a training today at work, as I mentioned earlier. So, like, the word decedent, I'd never spoken that out loud.
Decedent?
Yeah, it's someone who's died. I'd never spoken that out loud.
But, like, how is that helpful in a training when other people don't know that word?
Well, how is it helpful when I have to say it out loud and I'm like...
But couldn't you just say somebody who's died?
Is it decadent? Is it decedent? Is it decedent? Like, what are we saying here? I've never heard that word.
But, like, if you would have said decedent to me, I didn't know what that meant just now. And I am a PhD level, like... So, like, how...
No, so I look like a fucking idiot because here...
Wait, did you say decadent?
No, I was vulnerable and was like, I don't know how to pronounce this word. I don't know. And I was just like open about
it. It's outdated. I mean, the whole thing that the big person-centered push in counseling is to make things common language so people understand what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah. Because that kind of matters. So you'd think that they would make the language learnable to somebody. Learnable.
Like, who, unless you're involved in, like, the law world, you're never going to use the word decedent, ever.
Nor would I recommend that. It makes you sound...
So, two like people asshole. That usually are part of the all-day training that I helped out with today were not there, so I had to present other people's content, which fucking sucks.
I hate that, yeah.
Fucking sucks. So, even though you kind of look over it the day before, and you think you're good, once the words come up on the screen and you have to say them, you're like, what the fuck is that word? Decadent? Decedent?
And then your mind goes blank, and then you're like, what was the point of this slide? Oh, wait.
Yeah, and then you realize, like, because the word suicide comes right before it, you're like, okay, this is a sensitive topic. I don't want to make light of it and joke about it. And then I just ended up saying dead person. Like, what the fuck? Like, I was put in that position. It's horrible.
Dead person. That sounds bad, too.
I know. Man, public speaking fucking blows.
We can just kind of put that in the category of monkey belly breathing.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm willing to make myself vulnerable to help other people, if that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to leave this world a better place than I found it.
Oh, that's so full of yourself. But yes, that's very nice of you.
I got to be careful, because last time I tried to do good,
it's a thin line. I know,
totally backfired.
I'm like, it's going to bite you in your ass just for saying it.
Yeah, but I was realizing how many words I don't fucking know how to pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, another word on mine that I had to look up, is it Caribbean or Caribbean?
Isn't it just a matter of pronunciation?
I don't know. Like, I was worried, because it was a very sensitive area I had to present. It was all about race, ethnicity, and suicide.
I don't want to
fuck that up.
Like, cultural things. So it's, I would say, like, Caribbean food in the Caribbean.
But what about, Pirates of the Caribbean? Or is that just Disney bullshit, and that's not true?
Caribbean as in a, like, place. And I already forgot the other way.
I said Caribbean. But I think
Caribbean.
It's also Caribbean, and I don't know what's right.
But, like, again, until the invention of the internet, how do you know unless you're from those places?
Or somebody says, hey, you're wrong.
Then how do you know that they're right? Like, that's the whole thing with power and authority. Like, where are you getting your information from? Because somebody may... Like, what's the one that everyone argues about?
niche or niche?
Well, that's one of them. But yeah, along those lines of just standard words.
Because I don't know what's right on that either. Who knows? It's so much easier when you don't talk to people and just fucking read books.
Isn't it?
You can okay, just make up your own pronunciation.
Here we go. This is what AmericanPronunciation.com says. Ready? Okay, I'm going to have the volume up.
American here. Pronunciation? No, that's already I'm like,
And they spell it.
Caribbean.
Okay, so that's the one I used.
Okay, here's another one. Your phone's going crazy. Caribbean. Caribbean. Oh, So this first comments on here. Let me read the comments from this person.
That's the same one. Caribbean.
No.
Emphasis on the rib.
Yes, but all the comments in here. Someone says, I say it this way. If I say I'm going to the Caribbean, but if I say the movie Pirates of the Caribbean, I pronounce it Caribbean.
That's weird. What you said.
And then someone said, I pronounce it Caribbean. This person said, my whole family is Jamaican. I think it's a matter of pronunciation from where you're from, perhaps. So, yeah, that's what I see for how Caribbean can be pronounced. It's really either way, depending on who says it.
Okay. I still am just going to not say things out loud anymore.
Probably a good plan. Go ahead and keep presenting, though. See how that
So, the older students that witnessed this said they felt the creatures communicated telepathically with them, sending the message that we humans are destroying our planet, polluting the environment in ways that
the kids said this?
Yeah. Oh. That will have dire consequences. And they felt that the thoughts came from the man's eyes. So I'll play a couple clips on that. And I just got to find the spot on the YouTube-y thingy. Here we go.
Why do you think they might want us to be scared?
Because we don't look after the planet and the area properly.
Mm-hmm. And Millie, is this an idea that you have had before, that we don't look after the planet properly in the air? Or did this idea come to you when you had this experience?
When I had this experience.
Mm-hmm. And how did that idea come to you from this experience? This is a little hard, but try to be with me here, okay? How did this idea come to you when you had this experience?
I just felt horrible inside.
You felt horrible. At what point did you feel that? When you saw the craft or when you got home at night? Or
when I got home.
You had that horrible feeling when you got home.
Yes.
And say more about that horrible feeling, Lisa. What was it like?
It was like in the world, all the trees will just go down and there will be no air and people will be dying.
Mm-hmm. And those thoughts came to you. Had you had those thoughts before this experience?
No.
And how did those thoughts come to you? Did they come to you from the craft or from?
From the man.
The man. And the man, did the man say those things to you? How did he get that across to you?
Well, he never said anything. It's just that the face is the eyes.
What was the sense you got from those eyes?
He was interested.
So, did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
So, doom and gloom predictions for Earth, that bad things are going to happen, the trees are all going to go down, the air is going to go away, and people are going to die. Yeah, so when the kids went back to class, they were obviously completely freaked, and they said the little man looked like Michael Jackson a little bit, which is interesting. So, the parents, you know, after the kids got home at night and were, like, talking about us, they called the school. So they brought in this local UFO expert named Cynthia Hind. And she was Africa's foremost UFO investigator. She came the next day. And when she got there, the kids had drawn about 35 drawings of what had happened to present to her. And they were all, like, very similar. And the headmaster affirmed that he believed that the students were telling the truth. And one little girl told Cynthia, "I swear by every hair on my head and the whole Bible that I am telling the truth." So after that, they brought in Dr. John Mack, and that's the dude's voice that you hear there.
Who interviewed them.
Yeah, so he is a UFO researcher, or was a UFO researcher, a child psychiatrist, and a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, and a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. So he has some accolades. His reputation did get a bit tarnished because of his focus on UFOs, you know, how mm-hmm. that might go down. So you can find this video. I'll post it, but it's about a half hour's worth of it. So he says, or said, that after all his years of research, he was astonished to discover in case after case, powerful messages about the human threat to the Earth's ecology were being conveyed to the experiencers in vivid, unmistakable words and images. He personally deemed it quite possible that the protection of the Earth's life is at the heart of the abduction phenomenon. Okay, so I'll finish with one last video clip. So this is 16 years later. They had some clips of some of the same kids 16 years later. And then some of the voices are like parents and teachers too, but most of them are the kids. And that is 2810. Let me find it. Thank you for being patient, people, with all this finding of things. Okay, here we go.
I believe that the aerial sighting, although we do not fully understand what happened, there was something definite that did occur there that was out of the ordinary. It was not a regular day at school.
Yeah, I think if there was one experience I'd like to relive, it would be that particular experience.
It really does stick with me that something happened, something was out there, and the kids saw it.
He has never stopped talking about it. And he has believed all the time that it did happen.
I think something definitely happened. Yeah, for sure.
But it was just that picture that it will never go out of my mind was the face and just the craft, you know. They'll always be there.
We met up on many occasions after that and hugged and shook our heads and said that was the most amazing experience of our lives, wasn't it?
It was literally fear of the unknown, pun intended. You know, that's the best way I can describe it, but I'll never forget it.
It was strange, it was exciting, it was, you know, it's just, you don't see stuff like that every day, you know. It felt like a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Strange, I guess, like I said, I don't want to believe in the whole aliens and stuff, but it always leaves me questioning, thinking, that was very strange, so it is possible. And, I mean, in a way, I guess there are times when I try and disassociate myself with, the experience and, what happened in 1994, trying to disassociate myself with what happened there when I was in junior school, but I realize I'll be lying to myself.
No one is willing to say that because we know that.
Okay. So, yeah, that's all I got.
We didn't just make
it. Oh, my God.
It's not all you got.
So what do you think about that?
It's very interesting. It'd be interesting to hear their memory recall of it. I know memories are really change pretty frequently. I was doing related research-ish about memory and recall and how you can plant memories in people.
Oh, that's very easy to do. Mm-hmm,
yeah, you could say. So when that red car drove by, and this and this happened, and then they start to recall it as a red car,
right? Because you placed that image in their mind.
Yeah. So it's actually very fallible. But it'd be interesting, with an open-ended question of recall that day, and just leave it open-ended and see what they all did. But yeah.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody to watch the video, and I'll post it on our Facebook because it seems very believable to me.
It is very interesting. You should post the videos so you can watch them. Have you watched Mindhunters?
I watched only the first season. I saw the second season is just up, and uh-huh. I need to watch it because I love the first season.
Very good. It stays very good.
Oh, my God. Yes. The actor that they got to play Ed Kemper mm-hmm. is fucking
so
amazing.
So good.
How do you find somebody that's, 20 feet tall?
And fits that
The same
image,
build
yeah.
and, the same, cold-faced... You know,
so if you've seen it and haven't thought about trying it, I was hesitant at first, but then it's first episode and you're tripped in, so it's all good.
Who do they focus on, like, a different killer for the second season?
I'm not gonna ruin it, so you'll see.
Wait, no, just yes. That won't ruin it.
Yes, it will.
Because the whole first season was basically Ed Kemper. Uh-huh. Is, like, the second season basically mm-hmm. somebody? Well, you why are you being out. So vague and mysterious?
Then I want you to go and watch it.
But that's not gonna stop me. Just tell me what I need to know. I want a spoiler.
No.
No. That means...
No means no.
I think that means if no, they don't focus on a serial killer.
Anything from USA Gymnastics, no means no. Actually,
yes no, means yes also.
Yeah, no. What really it means is if you're a medical doctor, you should do actual medical procedures and don't molest children.
No, don't means. Molest children.
Don't do that.
That should be our until next time.
Until next time.
Don't molest children.